The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what was said, pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He'll be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he'll rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Whether we admit it or not, we all belong to the charismatic movement. Let me explain myself. Maybe not formally, but if we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we have to belong to the charismatic movement, at least implicitly. This is the story. It started back in Duquesne University, back in the early 70s. That's where really took off the charismatic movement in this country. And there were just tons of university students and priests and bishops were descending upon Duquesne. So they decided they were going to have an outdoor mass because they couldn't celebrate the mass in the auditorium. There was thousands of people that were going to come to it. So they invited a cardinal archbishop from Europe to celebrate the mass. And it was done in the stadium where they play football, baseball. So unfortunately, they had all the students there and the professors and teachers, but it was about to rain. So probably they were thinking they probably have to cancel the mass. But they started the mass anyway. And as the cardinal archbishop started the homily, this is what he said. "Do you want to know what the secret of devotion and love for the Holy Spirit?" People listening. And he said, "Love and devotion to Mary." In that moment, there was lightning and thunder, and the clouds disappeared, and the sun started to shine, like the sun is shining right now. Amen, huh? Great story. That's going to be my homily this morning related to the biblical passage that you've heard probably at least 300 times, so for you maybe about 2,000 times, okay? As these teenagers are younger than Liz, right? 80s, 16, okay? There's a big difference, right? And it's this, secret to holiness is relationship with the Holy Spirit. Just clear as that. Okay? Secret to holiness is relationship to the Holy Spirit. If I can give you a little bit of mystical theology with your permission, you got to be open to the gifts. Okay? You learn them in confirmation and hope. Right? You have to be open to the gifts. Because the gifts perfect the virtues. So faith, hope, and charity, patience, purity, you're not going to live them without the gifts. They perfect the virtues. So who better than Mary can help us to have a deep union with the Holy Spirit? Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. She is. So let me give you the itinerary of Mary's relationship with the Holy Spirit. So that's going to be your prayer this morning and today as you get close to Christmas, deeper union with Mary. And Mary's going to bring you closer to the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay, this year we celebrate the Immaculate Conception on the 9th of December, which happened to be the feast day of Juan Diego. It's also the 40th anniversary of the death of my favorite, Fulton Sheen. Did you know that? Yeah. 40 years ago, December 9th, died one of the greatest archbishops in the world. Let's pray that he gets beatified. Please, I'm suffering. Let's pray that he gets beatified. No? We already have other miracles, no? Let's pray that they overcome whatever obstacle might be, that he's beatified and canonized. Who would be a better example for priest and bishop than Fulton Sheen? Nobody. No one can hold a candle to him in his presence in the church. So we'll pray for that today. So the Immaculate Conception is the work of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Don't confuse the Immaculate Conception with a virginal conception. Most people probably don't know the difference, but there's a big difference. Today you heard of the virginal conception. The Immaculate Conception is Mary conceived in the womb of Saint Anne. The virginal conception is Jesus conceived in the womb of Mary. Got that? Could you repeat that? Tell your kids, okay? So the Immaculate Conception is Mary conceived in the womb of Saint Anne. The virginal conception is Jesus conceived in the womb of Mary. We just heard right now when Mary said, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be done to me according to thy word. All right. So the Immaculate Conception is the work of the Holy Spirit. The virginal conception is the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then after Mary conceives Christ, what does Mary do? She moves in haste. She's moved by the Holy Spirit. Amen? She goes in haste. So we have to make a firm decision right now until we die. Don't give in to laziness. Amen?
Amen.
How much time do we waste in our lives? You want to die and the Lord said, well, you know, you're saved, okay, purgatory 1,000 years because you wasted half of your life in insignificant pursuits. So ask Mary. She moved in haste. She didn't wait. She didn't think, and I'll think about it, well, what about transportation? There's no cars or anything like this. She walked 80 kilometers. Are you good at math? 55 miles. And it wasn't going downhill. No, you're riding your bike down a hill. Piece of cake, huh? The hill country. I was in New Hampshire walking Mount Kearsarge. No, it wasn't a piece of joke. It was hard work, huh? You ever climb a mountain? The Alps? I have too. The Alps in Italy, huh? Hard work, Dan. Hard work climbing those mountains. No? So Mary was climbing. That's hard work. But she did it easily because she was moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it easy. If you're open to the gifts, even though you go through trials and physical suffering and contradiction, if you open the Holy Spirit, He removes the obstacles. Amen? And she arrives at the house of Elizabeth. And she's moved by the Holy Spirit to greet Elizabeth. Learn how to greet people with a smile. Okay? Frank Duff, the Legion of Mary, right? That's the key. You're not going to attract anyone with a carta di vinagre, huh? Carta di vinagre. A carta di pit bull, no? And then what happened? Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You ever hear that? Who inspired Mary to say that? Hello? Anyone home? Holy Spirit. It's one of the most beautiful prayers in the world. It's called the Magnificat. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Mary opened up her heart, and it's like a summary of all the Psalms of the Old Testament. It's like the apex. It's the high point of all the Psalms. Mary knew the Psalms. And during the public life of Christ, Mary was in the background praying for Jesus and the apostles. Amen? She was. For those 3 years, Mary was in the background, but she was praying fervently for Jesus and the apostles. And then the culminating point of the relationship between Mary and the Holy Spirit, the first novena. Right? Mary was with who? Peter and James and John and Philip and the apostles. What was she doing? Praying, fasting, and giving good example. Can you imagine the apostles praying with Mary? What a beautiful example. Just seeing her pray inspired them to pray. Just seeing a beautiful example, right? Because as he says in Spanish, el ejemplo rastra, right? Example is powerful. And then the Holy Spirit came down upon Mary and the apostles. Did the apostles really know Jesus well during the public life? Más o menos, huh? Menos que más, huh? They really didn't know him that well. I mean, Jesus proclaimed that Jesus, Peter proclaimed Jesus is the Son of the living God. Then Jesus says, "I'm going to Calvary," and Peter rebukes Jesus. "You're not going to do that." Jesus calls him Satan. "How do you like after the Mass I greet you? Hi, Satan, how's it going?" No. Right, you'd probably never come back. You'd probably call the bishop on me, right? Jesus calls him Satan. So there were moments of light and darkness. When was it that the apostles really understood who Jesus was? After Pentecost. Yes. After Pentecost, they understood perfectly. So much that they're willing to shed their blood for Christ. Nobody is going to shed his blood if he doesn't have a strong conviction, right? Nobody. He's going to shed his blood if he's not convinced of the importance of his goal and mission. And their goal and mission was to make Christ known and loved by preaching and shedding their blood. So the key to our sanctity is openness and docility to the Holy Spirit. Closing story. Father Jacques Philippe, some of you have read some of his books, Father Jacques Philippe, written some of these short books. He's writing about book every year. My favorite of his books is called The School of the Holy Spirit. And in that book, he's got a little story. He comes back from preaching a retreat. And we who give retreats, if you give retreats, well, they're very tiring. They're exhausting. If you give an Ignatian retreat well, a preacher retreat, you're preaching 3 or 4 hours a day, or maybe 5 hours confessing, it's tiring. So he comes back, and he's To his rectory, he's exhausted. But he hears a very quiet but insistent inspiration. Come and visit me in the Blessed Sacrament. I'm tired. Come and visit me in the Blessed Sacrament, Lord, tomorrow morning. Come and visit me now. So he goes in front of the Blessed Sacrament for a few minutes. He greets Jesus, then he goes back to bed and has a wonderful night's rest. All of you are going to be receiving a lot of inspirations the next 4 days. Are you going to be open to them? Hello? I hope so. I hope so. Because the Holy Spirit sends inspirations. The Holy Spirit is un caballero. You know what that means? It's un caballero. Caballero means he's a gentleman. He's going to inspire, but if you say no, he pulls back. He pulls back. You reject him, you say yes, he draws closer and closer and closer and closer. You arrive at the point with the St. John of the Cross, St. Faustina, the constant inspirations, and they're just saying yes. And they're skyrocketing in their spiritual life. So Mary always, always said yes to God. We sometimes say yes to God. So let's ask Mary to give us the grace to be open to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort, who I love, hopefully you do also. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into those souls. Like a frisbee. You ever throw a frisbee? You ever throw a frisbee? I'm a pretty good frisbee thrower, no? Those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. So the key to holiness is union with the Holy Spirit through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Amen.